Okay, so you guys chose this, so however this goes is on you. So,
one quick thing. Just tonight's learning. My niece is recovering from surgery she had yesterday. Sarah Boscana. So
okay, it should be for Shlema. Okay, so the Chazon Ish is well known to us for his halachic work, which really encompassed Kol HaTorah Kula and very short paragraphs, no matter what the topic was, from mitzvos, atluyos, baras, kudshim, the regular sugyas, the Chazon Ish covered it all. Even more surprising, because the Chazon Ish didn't really have a Rebbe. The Chazon Ish was really one of those few who emerged as a gadol b'Torah, irrespective of the fact that he was sort of self-made and spent most of the time learning himself. And his influence, at least in terms of the, I guess, called the modern Haredi world, is perhaps unmatched. And what he does here in Emunah B'Tochon, and again, I'm not 100% sure what his goal was in writing Emunah B'Tochon. I don't know if he was writing it for himself, if he was writing it for his family. I don't know who he was writing it for, who the target audience was. But it's written in a much different way. You know, you would think that if he's talking about Emunah and he is this halachic personality, so it's going to be, you know, din, 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 din. This is what you have to do, this is what you have to know, this is what you have to... But it's not like that. The difficulty in trying to do this, which is why I gave that opening remark, is that he breaks it down into short prakim, but it's very unclear until the end of the whole piece what he's trying to get at. But we'll try to absorb again in our little snippets what he's saying each time. And again, it will grow and it will continue. So he starts out and he writes, Midas emuna hinetia daka me'adina sanefesh. So already that's very surprising. First of all, he's referring to emuna. He is referring to emuna as a midah. We don't normally think of emuna as faith in Hashem as a midah, but rather it's a point of knowledge. So it's very clear that what he's going to be developing is something deeper than just, you know, Yud Gimli Karm, the things that we have to say and the things that we have to know. There's a midah, there's a personality trait that is developed. And he writes, he netiya daka me'adina sanefesh. It's a very fine tendency of the soul. Ima adam hu baal nefesh. And again, what he's already hinting to is that it's not something which is naturally going to come to everybody, and there are going to be people for whom it's more natural, and there are going to be people for whom it's going to require, I guess what we would call more avoda, more work, in order to bring out this attribute. Ima adam hu baal nefesh. If a person is sensitive, ushaito ishas hashket, and he finds himself at a calm time, which again in our lives already is difficult enough to come by, right? A time when things are quiet, chavshi meira avon ta'avani, and his desires are at bay. He's not running after any physical pleasures. Ve'ino marhiva mimachazei shamayim larum, and he looks up at the sky and just sees the vastness of the sky that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Va'aretz la'omek, or the depths, you look down into the Grand Canyon, and, or again, even simpler, just look out at the amazing world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Hu'nirgash v'nidham, you're moved. Again, if you're sensitive to it, and you're willing to look at it from a fresh perspective, so when you see the greatness of the Bria, the greatness of creation, it has an impact. And if you think about it, the world is like this, it's like this closed riddle that needs to be solved, because there's so much out there, and it's very difficult to make sense out of everything that's there. Kemusov and Iflod, you know, it's unbelievable. And the desire to unravel the mysteries of this world, if you're, you know, the curious, excited personality, you know, your heart starts to palpitate. It starts to move quickly because you want to understand. You see this. There's so much out there, and you want. You have a desire for knowledge. Vukimis alev. He says, almost like you're going to faint. Lo nisha bo ruachayim. Nothing else matters. Bilti el hachido komayonam agamasa. The only thing that you're wondering is just the majesty of the world. Vidas pisrona kolsa nafsho, and all that you long for is a solution to this, to the riddle of the world, and to understand it. V'nivchar lo lavo bo ishu b'mayim b'shvila, ki ma lo v'lachayim imachayim ani'imim ha'elon ne'elom imenu tachlis ha'elom. And you would go through fire and water in order to be able to understand the world better, because you see it all in front of you and you want to understand it, and you realize that you're being put into this world, and yet there's so much that you need to appreciate, and we don't know why exactly we're here and what the purpose is of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, but we know that He must have put us here for a reason. So wanting this knowledge overcomes the person. V'nafsho scharchara v'avelo k'meyo l'avin sodov l'ador shoshav v'asha'arim ninolu. And you just want to get to the unravel this mystery of the world, but the gates are locked. What's the key to understanding what the world is about? Ha'omnam ha'adin hazeh pitzav l'chub shu'adayim. But when it comes to this you know, person who has this quality, who has this fineness to him of being sensitive to what's out there and being willing to look at things. Pitzaav lo chubsha adai. And again, he writes in a very, very poetic way. This translation that I'm using is the only translation that exists, and it wasn't even published so long ago. Was it probably 7-8 years ago? 2008. Okay, so almost 10 years ago already. And he makes it very clear. First of all, he actually claims that there are paragraphs in here that were not in the original version. So when we get up to those, I guess that will be extra exciting. And he writes that it's not a word-for-word translation, because you can't translate these phrases that the Chazanish is using in the normal way. It's not going to make sense. You know, it's like reading Sansino Gemara. You need a perish on the English, because certain words you can't just match with an English word. So he said, "Tzav l'chub shadayin." It's almost like the wounds haven't been covered yet. V'nei huka hako patzoa. He's bleeding. Kilibo ra harbe meiun abechina shertachas Hashemish, because he saw everything that's under the sun. Osan abechinos hamaros ba'alil. This world that was clearly created in a very perfect way. Everything is calculated. Everything fits in. And it's as if you try to take back and think about it, there was an expert, a mehandes, an engineer, an architect, who had the whole thing prepared on a blueprint, And created it in every step of the world, and every obstacle that came their way, they had to adjust and remove them. And took the time to remove each and every impediment. And how beautiful it is, and the role of a person, how wonderful it is, the planner understood that there's no way that without the detailed information of the world that a person would be able to understand it. And the purpose of having, again, the person also is another piece of machinery in the puzzle. And without the person understanding the world, nothing is going to work quite right. Everything is right. Everything was made in an exact way. Every person is coming at it from a different and their own fresh perspective. And how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put us in this world if we don't have a way to interact with this world? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do? If He's going to put us in this world, and He's going to put this world in front of us, so He has to give us the ability to interact with this world. So what did He do? He figured out the solution. What's the solution? So he attached to a person two pieces of machinery. One on the right side of the person and one on the left side of the person. So what's the way, the first way that we interact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us eyes. If we had this whole world there and we don't have a way to interact, it's useless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of figuring out the ultimate calculation of how it's going to work, had to give us those world. They had to give us eyes. And now, if you take back and think about how much wisdom is there just in the human eye, you know, the rods and the cones and the thing comes in backwards and they flip it and that's only from like high school biology. I'm sure it's much more complicated than the doctors can tell us, right? Much more complicated than that. Lo tis ba'ayin liros ba'ozen lishmoa v'dorach ador yosivuch ha'chama dasim ha'levan es otri ha'chama tzvibet tirasayin. And subsequent generations understand more and more about the eye. Ves tachliso lo higiyu. And they still haven't fully understood it. So again, the first piece, again, he's going to move in this direction, is to sort of slowly appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us and how it fits in. So his first step is, he says, just looking at the Bria, just looking at the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and realizing that it gave us the koach to look out of it. But even when it gave us the koach to look out of it, he created this, I guess it's an organ. No, it must be an organ, right? He created this organ in the human being of an eye, which is just so unbelievable and so detailed that no man could possibly have created it. And even within that, there's so many details. So we just sort of try to fathom the greatness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So that's the first of several steps of an appreciation. If we have this, if we can create this or tap in to this refined part of our personality to begin to appreciate this world, which will ultimately get us on the right road towards this Midah of Emunah.